Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3.
Hello and welcome to City Alpha 3, the Star Trek podcast here on the Nerd Party. I'm Philip Gilfus, joined by Darren Moser and Daniel Prue. Gentlemen, how is your new Star Trek? Oh, God, there's no new Star Trek. How are you feeling your lives?
With old Star Trek.
It's like the before time.
Yeah.
Post 2005.
Gather around the campfire.
Well, we did get a trailer, right? Didn't we get a...
I haven't seen it yet, first, but you're right. Season. Lower Decks,
yeah, I didn't
right?
watch it either, but it's Lower Decks.
I wouldn't even call it a... At least the one I saw, it was more like voiceover teaser. Like, oh, I don't think we even see any people. It's just... It's very loose, but yeah, it definitely looks like they're going for the Star Trek 3, steal the Cerritos and go capture or go save Freeman, which I'm all here for. I'm here for whatever story they're going to tell us.
Well, and I guess because I always joked that, of course, if you don't know what's on, it's probably going to be Prodigy. But I guess not. The answer is Lower Decks is now officially going to be the next season 3.
What day does that drop?
Oh, it's August?
Late August, I think.
Yeah, because, of course, probably by the time folks hear this, it may have already been, depending on how late you listen to your podcast.
August 25th, I have on my calendar.
It probably will be San Diego Comic-Con with Star Trek, and we'll probably get vomited at everything that's happening in Star
that's
Trek
true.
Universe.
That's true. That could happen.
So,
wait, when is Comic-Con?
This weekend, the 23rd.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Real quick question.
Yeah.
Let's say there's going to be a bombshell drop, new show, unannounced, unrumored.
What
new show? What's it going to be? What do you want to? What
it's
do you want to
section
see?
Section 31.
It's definitely not going to be Section 31. Nope.
Academy. I don't think there's going to be a new show, but if there is, it'd probably be Academy. Something.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
There's so many shows now, and that's not in any way a critique, but that, I mean, look, the whole weekend could just be announcing season dates, and that'd be enough for me, honestly. Like,
yeah, trailers and season dates,
Strange New World, which they've already filmed, apparently. I don't even know they're that far ahead, so Strange New World season 2 is in the can, apparently.
Oh, we could see a Picard season 3 trailer.
Oh,
that's true.
Like that would probably teaser. Be fan oh,
an actual trailer. Yeah.
Yeah. Or even if they had like all of their voices and then the last and then it fades up from black and it's literally just a shot of the seven. That's all they need to do, guys. That's all they need to do.
But we already got that. We literally like the teaser that they already put out was just them doing voiceover. So.
That's true.
That is true.
I would like a
but without the shot.
Yeah, that's true.
You're just a physical. Like that's honestly like as a
and they're teaser. All in the monster maroon and everybody loses their mind.
What is going on?
And they're like, "What is going on?" And then
Chris
they beam
Pike
out.
Walks up and they're like, "What?"
Yeah, they're just trolling with us. That'd be I always want them to do that. Just make a troll trailer. Oh, that'd be hilarious.
No, I want them all dressed up like they were in the family.
Data standing in the background for some reason. We're like, what?
Of course, because why not?
Yeah. Why not? So looking forward to Star Trek news. I mean, I don't know. I mean, not to be old guy on the porch, I'm not necessarily looking for any blockbuster news. I mean, I just think we have enough. I mean, like next year, because after that, things will start, Picard's going to end after the next season.
That's true. A show to replace Picard.
Yeah, that'll be one down at least. and then, Discovery, I assume, is going to go on for a little bit longer. Lower Decks.
I wonder how long they'll keep pushing Discovery along for. I'm just curious.
I mean, because the last season was season
four.
Five? Four.
No, four. Four.
And they've greenlit five.
Yeah.
But I think they're probably already working on it at this point.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And then Prodigy will drip drop.
Farther than Enterprise. So good on them.
By the way, and again, this is just me making fun. By the time season one of Prodigy ends, how many seasons of Star Trek would have taken place?
We'd be squished in between it.
I think like three seasons of Star Trek between season one of Prodigy. I'm just throwing that out there.
Prodigy's going on the slow burn.
What a weird, again, I would think.
I mean, just say five episodes per season, which I would think is dumb.
Well, but we're also used to, you know, we all came up in the Berman era, or, you know, where like, again, television was different. I mean, you were cranking out Star Trek every week, like, and they were made like the month before. And that's just not how television's done anymore.
Yeah, but I just think Lower Decks is a better vehicle for what they're doing product, like the gap filler, because it's not super important. Like Prodigy seems to be telling a pretty serialized story, and like it's a kid's show too. So like the kids watch three episodes, they wait 3 months, and they're like, well,
harder, you know, I think, to retain. But I don't know. My daughter's really excited for Murph to come back and to see more Prodigy. And honestly, all they need is a nice recap in the first 5 minutes, and you're good. So
I almost wonder, because I'm growing a little cynical about Star Trek distribution. Actually, I'm growing a lot cynical about Star Trek.
Well, that's because you're in the UK, and you don't get Star Trek distribution.
It's also this. I think the Prodigy pitch was, we're going to be on Nickelodeon. But what happened was they were on Paramount Plus and didn't show up to Nickelodeon for probably 6 months to a year. And so, I mean, like, to me, that's their problem. I mean, they're like, we're going to be the Star Trek Nickelodeon show. We're going to get the little kids. And I'm like, oh, it's great. Sound. Okay. So about the Nickelodeon distribution idea. We're going to get there. Just, you know, stand by. Like, it's okay. Well, then why'd you, you know? So I think I almost wonder if that's the reason why it's so delayed, because they wanted it to sync. Because I mean, I don't know if it's the same with the US, but the UK just came on Nickelodeon. Like,
no, yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. And it's also,
it started in December or November, didn't it?
But it's also been touted, you know, it's kind of the filler show. You know, it's like in between. Because now the new business model seems to be like, how many shows can we line up so that you will always keep your subscription?
Which is smart.
I mean, it's not, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's different.
It does feel to me, though, like it's leading, at least in my from my perspective, to burnout. Like, I don't actually need Star Trek every week. I like, even like Star Trek every other week would be better. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can still spread it out a little bit further where, and just have less content.
To be sure, y'all are volunteering to not do Star Trek every week because there's a certain series you're just not doing. So, you know.
Well, no, I'm behind on literally everything. I think I'm behind on every single show, so it's not just that. But like, I you know, it's just,
but Darren's like, what do you mean? I have like 4 months completely free. What's that discovery?
No, that's a good point. It can lead to Trek burnout, but again, you don't have to watch everything. So, like Philip said,
and I guess we're slowly learning. Maybe we shouldn't. Okay, but anyway, so what we're going to talk about this week is a continuation of last week. If you somehow missed last week, is we just did some sort of fun talking about all of Star Trek, some brackets of different categories of different positions,
self-stealing symbols, because that's what it is in Star Trek.
Exactly. Right? We did the what's the best thing to trade. Just do a bracket of that. So we have two categories that we're going to tackle today, because we tackled engineers, and then we also tackled, I don't know, something else. I can't remember. Security tactical. That's what we did. And so today we're going to talk about.
And who were the winners again last week?
It was Scotty. And that was off the top of my head. It was Scotty and Reed, Lieutenant Reed, if I remember. So that was.
I thought Geordi won over Scotty. I'll have to look at my notes again.
No, you're right. I have two next to LaForge and one over Scotty. You're right. LaForge won.
Oh, wait. Yeah, okay. I remember it was I converted it. One of you to my LaForge side.
Oh, yeah, that was me. Yeah.
So, LaForge won engineering and then Lieutenant Reed.
Trying to change the results. I see how it is, Philip.
Hashtag South of Steel. All right. So the categories we're going to be doing today is con and first officer. So,
okay.
Ooh. So we're going to go with sort of the, you know, the helm.
Potent potables.
Exactly.
And
so as usual, this is a bracket or not seated.
Well, Ricardo Montalban, he's got to be the number one con, right? because
better than Strange New Worlds one. Okay, yeah, that's an idea.
And also,
with a C. Okay, I get it.
I think that's probably how she spells it. Like, oh, you're a Lieutenant Khan. And she's like, no, Khan. Sounds like you're saying Khan. Anyway. So, all right. So, as usual, for those who didn't tune in last time, these aren't seeded as you would a tournament bracket, like a March Madness, and, you know, one through whatever. I just randomly did it round robin style between the different things. So, these matchups could be randomly lopsided or randomly equal. I don't know. So, here we go. So, Khan Officer, we're going to go with Sulu, TOS, and Ortegas from Strange New Worlds. With the cool haircut.
Oh, that's going to be... That's actually tough.
Right. So I'll talk it out first, just to let you all ruminate for a second. So Sulu, TOS, and again, this I'm not telling you how to do it, but in my mind, am I including the movies, or am I just including 3 years? Well... Or, you know,
one becomes a captain and one doesn't.
Or just, well, I'm, and again, as we remember from our Worf discussion, Khan Officer. We're just talking about his Khan Officer duties, not being a commander, because I think he sat in the center chair once or twice during the original series. And then, you know, tactical and security, but just steering the ship, literally. So, so Sulu, and then Ortegas. So Ortegas, for those who haven't been watching Strange New Worlds, and you should. Ortegas has kind of had her moment in the sun, you know, once or twice. I mean, literally, I'm trying to remember whether she flew around the sun. But anyway, she's definitely having her show off her skills as helm officer. I can't remember if she's done any shuttle piloting, which they normally steal these people for. But, you know, so Ortegas is definitely showing her own in just one season and a few episodes. Sulu, I'm trying to think, you know, he's reliable. But I can't necessarily think of anything notable as a helm officer that he per se did.
Yeah, I mean, he has a big role in the Galileo 7, but he's not as Khan officer during that episode. Mm. He's stuck on the planet officer in that episode.
So what about you, Dan? I know you're not all over Strange New Worlds necessarily, but
yeah, that's. I think I'll abstain until and unless you guys have a tie. Disagree.
Okay. We always like the uninformed voter making a difference. All right.
Hey, I'm trying not to. But
Taryn, what do you think?
Well,
which actually I didn't vote. So by the way, I'll say right now I'm a soft Ortegas, but I'm willing to have it.
I'm kind of leaning towards Ortegas too. It's tricky though, because a lot of it is just more modern Trek shows that position doing more. And not that Sulu didn't, it's just... You didn't have shots of the Enterprise loop-de-looping around asteroids. It was all inside the bridge.
And tilted.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone lean. And so just the nature of the show, I mean, we saw more of it with like Detmer, you know, where she gets more of actually seeing her pilot as well. But yeah, Ortegas, she gets a lot of con time, actually seeing her actually fly the ship. It's the same ship. They're both on the same ship. I mean, just different eras. But yeah, I lean towards Ortegas as well.
I think I can't remember what episode it was or if I'm making this up. But like I forget who was, whether it was Pike or Number One or who was at the center seat. But you know, Ortegas is like, do you want me to do like a, you know, something, something, something? And they're like, what's that? And she's like, I don't know. I just made it up.
Yeah, she definitely loves flying and loves, you know, handling the Enterprise. So, yeah, my vote would be for Ortegas.
Cool. All right. Anything you want to say about Sulu, Daniel, if we have not represented him enough?
No, I think you're right. I can't. There's nothing that pops in my mind. And I think what Darren is saying is probably going to bear out for the rest of these discussions is like the later you go in Trek, the more cool like shots of the Enterprise or the ships.
You see them actually doing their job.
Yeah, it's probably going to be the case across the board. But yeah.
OK, so we're going to give it to Ortegas this round. Nothing against Sulu. He's a good utility player. But, you know, he's someone who...
And he's great as a captain.
Yeah, look, he's also very well skilled. He's a botanist, I think, or, you
That's
know,
right.
how yep. he started out. And, you know, he knows how to wield a saber, a sword.
In 2009, he deftly navigates through that debris field.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, see, there you go. Yeah. And so, but yeah, he also can wear the tan shirt, I guess, in the 23rd century. So, yeah, you know, put him on the center seat. He does even better. All right. So, moving on. I don't always refer to him by the first name, so I'll do the last name. Montgomery. I always write Travis, but anyway, like I know the guy. But Montgomery from Enterprise and Jadzia Dax on the Defiant from Deep Space Nine.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm actually, you know what, I love Dax so much, but I'm gonna say Travis for a lot of reasons, especially. But the thing that popped right into my head immediately was the maneuver where with the Columbia, where it was at warp and
transferring trip over over the line,
and of course it also helps to make the decision easy that Jadzia was not like a full-time con officer. That wasn't her primary role.
She's a science officer that happened to fly the ship
during combat. You know, just transferable
skills. Not to say that she wasn't good at it. Obviously, she was good at it, but I'd still give it to... you know, he was born in space. I'm not sure if you're aware of that. It makes the most sense that he would be attuned to the zero gravity. So, yeah, I'm going to go Travis.
I think also Travis for the same reasons that Daniel said. I mean, I could think of a couple cool maneuvers that we saw Dax do in some of the battles where I think she like hit a button and then they did like a barrel roll kind of thing and the camera was like mounted on the Defiant's hull.
GoPro on the
Defiant. Yeah, it looked really cool. And she's also good at navigating really, really tiny shuttles.
Which is basically just a ship anyways. So it's totally funny. Yeah. She misfrizzled that. Yeah, totally. Yep. That's a totally good point.
But so, when she's piloting to the Defiant, it's the magic school bus. That's what you never know what's going to happen.
The other thing, too, is like sometimes like if you think of a cool maneuver that the Defiant did, there's actually no guarantee that Dax was the one that was doing it. Because sometimes
it's hard to remember.
Per episode, somebody else might have just been sitting in that chair for whatever reason. It's very
there's malleable. Also that episode where she and Kira find those two ancient ships in a cave and they fly them out. So she pods. So actually, I mean, again, I still am voting for Travis, but there are a lot of cases where she is the pilot. Often on the runabout, she's the pilot. She is consistently
was
in that
she
role.
The pilot in that episode, or was Kira? I thought she was the one that fixed the ship, and Kira was the one that flew it. But I can't remember.
That's true. It's hard to remember.
This doesn't count for or against her, but if I remember, one of her hosts, past hosts, was a pilot.
Yes, that's cheating, right there.
But he died. Cheating. He died in a shuttle accident. So
you think she'd be traumatized?
Not a great endorsement. Is all I'm saying. You
know? Well, because I was going to make.
I kind of wish she mentioned that, like in a key moment where they're flying. Oh, my past host. Blah 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 was a pilot. It's like he's sad he died in that shuttle crash, and they're like, "What? You're the one flying the ship?"
Yeah, because I was going to make fun of the fact that when I and Darren, Daniel, you're watching it currently, so you can correct me. But Deep Space Nine doesn't really care what anyone's skills in. Everyone has every skill in Deep Space Nine. There's no specialization, like
except for Odo, who has no skill.
You're untactical. Or the helm, or science, or operation.
Well, especially on the Defiant.
If I remember, I think it was like Kira or... Yeah, like Kira would be tactical unless Worf was there. But so pre-Worf, it was...
Sometimes... Bashir's on the bridge and he's doing things. And
yeah,
it's like,
it was very interchangeable. Yeah, well, that's because they're in the...
Officer during wartime? Assistant counselor. Great. She is great on firing weapons.
Yeah, but that's the other thing is, I mean, just the way the Defiant Bridge is laid out with those columns of, you know, or rows of desks along the sides, like it shoots great, you know, from a camera angle, but
it's that back row on the Enterprise D. It's like, what do those back stations do? What do you want it to do?
I just watched. We're currently watching the episode where Worf decides he wants to live on the Defiant instead of
I mean, he has lived much of his life on starships. It's not that weird.
Well, it is antisocial. He makes a point of that. He goes, "You're going to live over there alone." And he gets all excited. He goes, yes. But anyways, it started my thinking. And now that we're talking about this, I just wanted to bring it up. Like, the Defiant should have a a crew. The Defiant should have a
skeleton crew. Yeah.
Right. Well, not only that, not like just a crew to be on it all the time, but there should be just people assigned to it. Like
there should be times when our main crew need to stay on the station, running the station where they're stationed, and not taking the Defiant off on every joyride.
There are some battles on Deep Space Nine, Daniel. I just want you to take a pause when you're watching, going like, "Who's in charge of the station?" Right.
Yeah.
Quark. I mean, like, how was the.
Yeah. It's a station with 2,000 people.
You know what?
Man. Like, there's nothing going on.
I mean, it's kind of more modern Trek in how they do things, but I would have loved an episode that's like Beta Shift. So it starts off with like all of our A players leaving in the Defiant, and then it kind of pans back to the station. And we're like, well, what happens at the station? And then we literally are where, you know, all these rant. It's basically like the lower decks, quote unquote, of DS9, even though they're not lower decks, but they're not. The A team.
You can mix it up because it's going to be a lot more Bajoran personnel, maybe.
Yeah.
You
know?
Yeah. Why not?
There's a fire on board. They got to put out something crazy happens.
Yeah, like
you know.
The end, like Sisko returns, you know, what happened? Like,
nothing. It was just a normal Thursday.
Yeah. And the people, like the people that are in the, what are they called? In Deep Space Nine? Command, shoot.
Ops.
Ops, thank you. Yeah. The people that are in Ops, like our characters, our main characters of the show are shown multiple times doing essentially what is control tower job.
Yeah,
like
docking.
It's all docking procedures, which I don't know why that's not automated, but okay, fine.
I mean, like, this is one of those cases where Babylon 5 handled it better. Like, you had no names in the background that specifically did all those roles that were not our main characters.
Or I think of like a Battlestar, where like there's this huge bank of like stations and people that are on the command.
Yeah.
In command, whatever, the CIC.
The CNC.
It's super big and there's a lot of staff. So like even if 10 people left the room, there would still be people to, you know, do the important stuff. Where it's like in Star Trek, all Star Trek really suffers from this. Like, oh, we're going on an adventure to an Easter planet.
Does.
And, you know, and like then what happens to the rest of the crew, you know?
I mean, like, I love Star Trek, but I will be the first to admit that like there'll be times I'm looking at the Enterprise D bridge and I'm like, this does not make sense. Like you're literally because it's like, OK, you're sitting there. Cool. But if you're not in a battle situation, is Picard literally just sitting there in his chair?
What does he have to look at?
I mean, granted, he can go to his ready room, which gets like, some actual work done.
But let me know when the next crisis is. He just takes naps all the time.
But that's the thing, though. It's like you look at that bridge and I'm like, there needs to be a full on console like the front consoles in front of both the side stations. There needs to be like it's ridiculous.
On the Enterprise E, they did try to give them something a little more.
They did. You know, they gave them a little more
things. And even on the with even the first officer and counselor, I mean, like those chairs actually have got it.
I don't quite understand the whole Captain Lou. I mean, yes, in combat situations, totally makes sense. But everyday situations where you're just kind of just sitting there in the middle of this room, like,
yeah, if there's nothing on the screen, what are you doing for 6 hours, man?
Granted, pad with Galaga on it.
I mean, Data can handle it.
Officer,
Data's connected to the ship Wi-Fi, and he's actually getting work done. Okay, we know that, but. Yeah.
Do you think they just put on like a movie? Like and they all just sit there and they're just kind of like, all right, cool.
Captain, we're getting a proximity alert. Okay, pause it. Is it input 2? Is the forward sensor input 2? Okay.
But I just thought about that. Even if you're like the first officer or even the second officer sitting in the center seat, you have the tactical, like you can't fart around because you got the tactical officer glaring. Like,
yeah.
What are, you know, like maybe they're busy, but maybe they're not. Like, so you got to look busy because they're going to be like, you know, some lieutenants can be like.
I mean, maybe it's like, it makes more sense with the holograms. I'm thinking of like the bridge commander or, you know, bridge simulator that we've played on virtual. And that's kind of cool because as you pull up things, it virtually puts like an actual display of information. And yeah, the captain actually has a lot of detail and information at his fingertips, but. Yeah, it's again, I can totally overlook it. I'm not saying it ruins Star Trek for me, but I have thought about it a couple times of like, this does not seem the actual most efficient way of someone's time.
I could see like your second officer, first officer, and you know, so you like, you know, the captain's like, warp six, engage, and then the captain's like, well, I'll be in my ready room, and you're like, ah, jeez, I want to get that fourth pip so bad so I can get a ready room.
But see, this is why
you
like
gotta kill your time, you know, as commander, sitting in that chair, twiddling your thumbs, counting the days till you get promoted and get in the ready room.
This is why in like Voyager, like Tuvok, or that those side stations that were like kind of like enclosed,
yeah,
like
you could turn his back.
You had a really good situation going there. Yeah.
Facebook.
You have your iPhone pad down there playing a movie with no sound and subtitles for a while you're working on stuff. Yeah. All right. Well, back to Travis. So Travis
won that one.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So. Now, a name we've already mentioned, a name we haven't. So, kind of some big ones. Mr. Paris and Ms. Detmer. So, Voyager versus Discovery. Daniel, you've watched more Discovery than Darren. What do you think?
Have I? I don't know.
Has he? I don't know. Yeah.
I watched like an episode of season four, I guess. I would say
that would count as more. So,
okay, then yes, I guess I have. I would say, here's the thing. The memorable part about Detmer is that one scene during the terrible finale. But her piloting was a big part of it. Like she was piloting through something big and blue and I can't remember specifically what it was, but the focus on her was like, that was, I guess, the ending of her story about her trauma that she had experienced or whatever. Yep.
Also off now.
Which is fine, I guess. Okay, sure. I mean, that's a Discovery thing to do. It's just like, it's over. But anyways, I remember that being a big thing that happened. And I remember her piloting it like super coolly. So like that does stick out in my mind as something. I mean, only one of them have a collector plate. So I would, it is, I honestly, to me,
I don't know that she doesn't have a
collector plate. That's true. That's fair. That's totally fair. Yeah. I would say to me, like, whoever Paris goes up against is going to be, it's going to be tough to beat Paris for me. I think for whatever reason, he's just presented in such a way that of being like the cool fly boy, like, I'm probably going to pick Paris in almost every situation. So
you want starships? Boom. Got you covered. You want shuttles? Boom. Got you covered. I can fly anything. I can fly that beated up truck that we found in space. I could fly it.
He was in a race, space race.
Yes, that's right. Yep. He went to warp 10.
That's true.
Come on.
Which one of the two of them have gone to warp 10? I mean,
own shuttle which to fly. So I you know, it's going to be Paris almost 100% of the way.
Yeah, I mean, I lean towards Paris as well. It's also just
he landed again, starship.
He did.
That's true. Right, I mean, granted, you know, Detmer flies a ship with detached nacelles, which I don't know if that changes.
That's true. Things. She flies mushroom space. So
yeah, but that's more like execute the subroutine than flying.
Yeah, that's all. I think that's all. That's all on Stamets. So maybe you should have put him in there too.
Pick Stamets over Detmer for that's really sad.
Well, listen, they don't have an engineering set, man. I don't know what to tell you.
So, what's your vote, Darren?
Yeah, I got to give it to Paris as well. I think it again. I know we're talking specifically about their piloting abilities or their ability at the con, but there's also kind of the fact that, you know, story-wise, like Paris is a level one character and Detmer's like a level two or a level three. We just do not spend as much time with her, so I think that makes it harder. So I give it to Paris,
because I think, in, you know, if you actually looked at it, the skill is probably very similar. Like if you're, you know, you have their trading cards, you're looking on the back. Piloting, it has like the little you know, red, green, purple skill set, and I think they're both, their piloting is probably going to be the same number, because I think even you've seen them both not only do their ship, you've also seen them both do shuttles, so you know they're very equal in that respect there. So yeah, I just think it is Paris by a nose, because he's She, and this is what I'm giving it to, and you can agree, disagree. She is Starfleet 100%. Nothing wrong with that. I like to think I'm Starfleet 100%. But Paris can probably literally fly anything. And you've seen him fly anything, you know, alien, or I mean, non-Starfleet. I mean, you know, so I, that's where I give it to Paris being
alien. Yep. Do you hear yourself?
I know. Just being slightly more versatile and also innovative. But not that she isn't either, too. She's like, she's better than, you know, Sulu's a little more utility player, but she's creative, too. But so I'm going to give it to Paris as well.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. This one, I don't know, it might be a little controversial because they're sort of B players, both. So this is Sulu Kelvinverse versus Daniel Ensign Ro.
Oh, interesting. Okay. God, I forgot. Yeah, I guess she did sit in that seat. Yeah, no, I mean, that's a, kind of an easy thing for me. Again, I wouldn't consider...
I mean,
consider...
they both could probably beat you up. So,
but oh, for sure.
About, we're
oh, for
just
sure.
talking about con skills for now.
especially if Sulu had his extendable sword.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to give it to Sulu just because he does... fly thing, like she does, of course, but I don't really think of her as a con officer. Like, her piloting skill never comes into question, or even like, I don't think it's even part of any plots, as far as I can remember. And at least Sulu in the movies does get to fly the you know, the Enterprise and you know, do cool maneuvers and eject the warp core and stuff like that. I don't, as far as I can remember,
warp cores,
yes, warp cores, yeah, you're right, many tiny warp cores.
Now I do have to say, Darren, before you go, I never saw Ensign Ro put on the parking brake. So just something to consider.
That's a good point. That's a
something
good point.
To consider.
He was nervous.
I mean, he was a lieutenant. She was an ensign. I'm just throwing that out there. also a bigger ship. But anyway, actually, maybe they're probably equal size. God knows.
Yeah.
Yeah, they kind of, I think they were.
Yeah, they were supposed to be.
Yeah, I give it to Sulu as well. I mean, yeah, technically that was Ro's position, but she was more in the show for character development than for her piloting skills. So,
and because Wesley was gone, so we had to put someone down there, you know. So,
because I think about, you know, the storyline we never saw, except for the last one. She probably should have been a yellow shirt eventually, because you know, preemptive strike was like she came back from tactical school. I forget if she got promoted to lieutenant, but anyway, maybe she did. But anyway, like that's probably would have been like her. She's attacked.
She probably was going to get promoted right after that one mission that she kind of never came back from. And
yeah.
See, you know what happens if you put her in the command role? We see what happens in Battlestar. So you don't want to do that. It's not going to go well.
Oh, yeah.
So you just don't do that. That's all.
That's funny. All right, guys. So here's the matchups here. So. Daniel, I'm going to start with you. Ensign Montgomery versus, I think she's an ensign, or she a lieutenant? But anyway, Ortegas.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I'm going to abstain again, unless you guys...
I think it's lieutenant. Is she a lieutenant? Taryn, I feel bad. I don't know her right.
I she's don't know.
Ortegas. Anyway. But anyway, so Ortegas versus Montgomery.
Okay. That's actually harder, because...
She's a lieutenant. Sorry.
Okay, I thought so. You know, TOS.
Well, then on rank, she wins.
Exactly.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I mean, again, we saw a lot of Travis, but at least for me, Ortegas has left a very good impression of her abilities, and they've done that very quickly within 10 episodes. Like, I feel like it's been so focused that. And also the character is great. Like, we spend a lot of time with the character.
Is this a sad part where we say that she has more personality in 10 episodes than Montgomery has over 4 years?
She kind of does. if you look at that way. So, you know what? I'm going to give it to the rookie. I'm going to give it to Ortegas.
You know what? I've been calling him the wrong name. I've been calling him his real
name. Mayweather.
Mayweather. I was just like, wait a minute.
Montgomery Scott.
His real name is, well, no, his real
well,
name.
Well, then he didn't fill out the form right, so he gets disqualified for not putting his proper name.
But yes, Ensign Mayweather, because Montgomery's his real Anthony.
Travis, did you put your name in the Goblet of Fire? So, you spelt it wrong.
So, and again, look, because I was about to say nothing against the actor. It's not his fault. But like the fact that I can't even remember his character's name other than Travis.
that's a bit of a knock. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
granted, he was always there at the helm because there's literally was never anyone else at the helm. Like that was his, he was more set dressing in a way.
Yeah. And he suffered. Oh God, I almost want to say, and it's bad because he is main cast. And again, I'm not taking anything against the actor. He's main cast, but he's almost not.
He's almost
I mean, if you think about Enterprise, he's almost like the second layer of crew. Like he is almost like Ortegas for Strange.
Because he's an ensign, which that kind of happens with the ensign characters.
Say that, but even Harry, because I was going to say it was ensign
or Wesley.
Like, even Harry had on Voyager had a better, more character time.
I think that's the thing with that show is it very quickly became like the Archer trip show.
Yeah, they were trying to
and a little bit to you know, but he just got. Yeah, I totally agree. I think he kind of became a second tier character as far as story time.
So yeah, I'm going to vote Ortegas. So is that
Ortegas?
Anyone
Ortegas.
Fighting for Mayweather?
For who? I haven't written down his
exactly the boomer. Okay, boomer. All right, so this one I don't know. Well, anyway, so Paris. Versus Sulu Kelvin. I'm going to say it's a no-brainer with Paris, but I'm willing to hear arguments.
What do you think, Daniel?
Yeah, no, like I said, I it's going to be Paris. I don't think there's going to be anybody, for me, that beats Paris. I just think of him when I think of Star Trek pilots, so.
Yeah, I agree, too.
Counter far point, but.
A manual docking? Oh, my gosh. yeah, I also vote Paris. Not only is it's Sulu, but it's like Kelvin Sulu, so it's like a subset of Sulu. It's like so focused.
Well, he got farther than TOS Sulu, so there's some of that out there.
True.
So, all right. Well, that takes us to Ortegas versus Paris, which if we have 7 years of Ortegas, it might be a little tighter. So, but I think just on content alone, Paris, that's for me.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I think there's not only his piloting of the Starship Voyager, but also the Delta Flyer. Also like he's one of those people that like made his job, his life, you know, like he is the pilot.
Life. Yeah.
So yeah, I'd also say, you know, I mean, he named his daughter like Shuttlecraft 2. It's not
true. He makes a lousy spy, but he's a good pilot.
Yeah.
I vote Paris too.
All right. Daniel, are you?
Yeah, I mean, you can put me down, but it's okay. Like,
anytime it's Ortegas, you're abstaining, yeah.
Okay. All right, well, so Paris has won. So we're going to now we're now going to move on to Exos. So this is going to be a little more, you know, these are not the B players, theoretically.
Jellicoe versus who are we
he's
doing
not
here?
Not Exo.
I know.
Okay. So the first one, we're going to start off strong, guys. Decisions are going to have to be made. Here we go.
Uh-oh.
Riker versus Major Kira.
Okay.
So I'll Daniel, you're our DS9er right now. So do you have an argument for Kira over Riker?
Here's the thing. I don't generally love the Kira character. I recognize that she
because you wanted her to be Ro, right?
Well, I wish she was Ro. Yeah, that would have been a different show though. We talked about that. There's a whole episode you can listen to where we did that, but. She's mostly good at her job, I'd say, which I think is fair. Her role as an XO is very unique, obviously, like because she's literally the liaison between two governments. And like that's a very complicated political situation instead of like a chain of command sort of a thing. So her role is a little murkier and a little bit more looser. But I think she handles it pretty well for the most part. We don't see her always doing her like it's usually an action thing or something like that. It's not like we focus on her day-to-day stuff. Like she has her meetings with Odo.
We never see her walking around the station like doing her checklist of EXO duties.
Right.
Like, usually it's just left on the station while everyone else leaves.
Sometimes. I don't get the impression that that the Starfleet people report to her at all. Like, I don't really get the impression like O'Brien has to like give her status updates on engineering tasks. Like, he may do it, but like, I just don't get that sort of vibe from her, from them, or from the situation. But again, Deep Space Nine doesn't really go into those details a lot. We don't really understand the command structure.
There was a war going on, Danny. Okay, we don't have time.
There wasn't.
So yeah, I don't. It's tough. I think she did a good job doing her liaisoning duties, but I don't know if that's the same skill.
Totally impartial. It's not that she totally doesn't believe that that's the emissary. And it gets,
again, that's another layer that's weird. You know what I mean? Like, it's super weird. But to her credit, there's a whole episode about this. But to her credit, she literally builds barriers around her professional life and like her spiritual life and all of that sort of, and her emotional life and that sort of stuff. So it's like she, in spite of herself, in spite of what she, like that sort of stuff, she does do her job well. I just don't see that we get enough of what she does as XO to compare, really. So that's what I would say about that.
Yeah. Cause I would say, like, you see Riker doing first officer stuff all the time. I mean, like, not just crew performance, though you do see him do that. But just literally filling in for the captain. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, Daniel.
We can compare him to when Worf was number one and how dismally he performed in that role.
But, you know, you see him running the ship, if that makes sense. You know, talking to the crew. He
calls out red alert when you need to. Yeah. He gets the damage reports really fast for Picard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think with Kira, like, if you never said first officer, if they never said first officer, they just said she's the Bajoran liaison officer, full stop, nothing would change.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think there was some slight debate between her and Worf sometime about who's in second in command. Maybe that hasn't come up yet for you, but I just, for some reason, I remember where it's like Worf is in second command on the Defiant, she's second command on the station. They had to sort of like make things clear.
Yeah, I don't remember him.
Yeah, but anyway, so I mean, it's not that she's bad at her job. I just know her job doesn't really seem to really be XO. I mean, like you said, you know, and again, this is a stupid thing to pick, but I'm going to pick it. Like, who reports to what? So, like, you know, and I'll pick an officer. So, Jadzia Dax, who's doing her performance report? Is it Ben or Major Kira? Now, you know, but I could see both sides. I could see, like, even though she's a liaison officer, she is filling the XO position. So she's an XO. Or I could see, look, I'm a member of the Bajoran militia. Why should I be taking, you know, over Starfleet? And then I could see a separate track, but.
Right. We also look at, you know, I'm trying to think now how many Federation officers we see walking around. Like, we don't really see, like, there's really not that many. No. It's pretty mostly all Bajoran. So it's literally just this tiny command crew is managing this entire station for the Bajorans.
I do wonder what the ratio is. And it's, of course, never addressed. But like at the station level, like all you would need. Because like even all like a lot of the people that report, some of the people that report to Chief O'Brien are Bajoran and stuff like that. So you would only need like, you know, a couple dozen Starfleet officers to maintain like.
I feel it's very small.
Yeah. Like, I don't think it's a lot. Even if it was like 100, it would still be very minuscule in terms of, because it's a Bajoran owned station at that point. Anyways, they just agreed to sort of co-opt it with the Federation. So, yeah, like in reality, Kira's job is much larger in a lot of ways than Sisko's, although he has the ultimate authority there.
She
but it's
gets
like,
to deal with Kai Wynn. It's great.
right. Well, so does he on, yeah, well, whatever, yeah.
Because I almost feel like, and again, this is feel, so you can, we've been between knowing, but I almost feel like, you know, Kira's stories are always her own. But what am I trying to say? Like,
yeah,
she's not dependent on Sisko. Whereas I think Riker, not that he doesn't have his, yeah, of course he has his own stories, but like he's in the, with him and Picard, they're in discussion. They're happy. Not that Kira doesn't have discussions with Sisko, but not as often. Like it could be just be Jadzia and Sisko as far as, you know, the discussion of what to do in a situation. Whereas it's going to be Riker and Picard.
But you're right though. But all of her stories are also like personal too. Like all of her stories are not about her as her position or anything like that. It's like about her past or like a relationship.
It's all about Bajor
right. Exactly. It's never about like, what does she do on the, we never have like a day in the life of Major Kira where we
that's
actually
what we need Star Trek, more day in the lives, yeah. All our characters.
Once a season, just yeah. Do it. Cause it's so good. It's always so, you learn.
I mean,
so
even,
much, so.
You know, Data's day, you know, we had like a nice little letter getting written and
dance. Yeah.
Man, the guy that got that letter, I hope he went on to live a happy and fruitful life.
To a point.
Yeah, I agree. I think just as an XO, and probably a lot of it is just an XO is more of a starship role, really. I mean, you would need other more managerial, like highly managerial roles for a station. And Kira, it also is the different style with that Bajoran liaison thrown in and all of that. So, yeah, I'd say my vote goes to Riker.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So Riker wins, because even if Daniel, you have a problem, too bad. So, next, this one. Okay. So the next one, and Darren, I'll let you start off the discussion. With some of these, it's a point in time because they did other things. But Saru.
Okay.
Saru when he was first officer versus Chakotay.
Saru.
Oh, whoa. That was an instant answer. Okay. I got to think about that.
So excited. I'm sorry.
Which one had the worst captain? No, I'm kidding.
I'm sorry. It's just I kind of already pre-decided in my head that whoever Chakotay was up against was going to win, because
you're like, Ransom wins over Chakotay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I've been actually giving it 2 seconds of thought.
Saru.
Yeah. I mean, just, we've already kind of talked about, you know, that Chakotay isn't a really good first officer. He doesn't actually do that role really well, and instead it's kind of more of the I'm kind of just here on the bridge, but you're the captain, so I'm gonna listen to you. I mean, part of that harkens from the fact that, you know, they were, you know, in the formation of the show, like, not sure if they're wanting a female captain and all of that, which is funny because it sounds totally ridiculous nowadays. But and then Saru, I mean, heck, we all thought he should be captain, like, time after time. Like, I never felt like, you know what, Janeway's not really panning out. I think Chakotay needs to step it up. It's like, no, we wanted Saru to be in that center seat. So I think Saru is the far better XO.
Daniel, you're a Saru fan.
I do, and I don't. I have no love lost for Chakotay. I don't think he's a bad second in command. I just don't think we get enough of him as in that role. I think some things that we do see of him are pretty good. I think of like when he punches that dude. That scene is super memorable.
This
right?
is the Maquis way.
I know it's kind of his role as XO, because he's trying to shut something down at that point. He's trying to sort of collectivize the crew with that.
It's kind of the
moment.
Issue with the Maquis versus Starfleet that was never dealt with. Like, if they had actually made that more of a thing in Voyager, I think his role would have made way more sense.
And in a way, he is really being, you know, as we all know from the Data lesson, he is doing the ultimate first officer thing. You know, whether he agrees or disagrees with how Janeway runs the ship, when the Maquis are like, Chakotay, you're our leader. He's like, no. Captain Jane was the captain. If you have a problem with that, I'll punch you in the face. You know, don't come to me. I'm your first officer. I'm not your captain. And you know, you got two ways we can do this. If you want me to be your captain, yeah, fine. Bam, right in the face. So I think he does that job of if I disagree, but when I'm out there, I'm supporting the captain. And because I'm rewatching Voyager, and I think I'm about to hit season 6, I think. But I think if we see Chakotay as not being a good first officer, I think, I mean, other than writing would be the real reason, but in universe, I think it's Janeway's fault. I mean, I think she's not letting him be first officer in a lot of ways. It's kind of like, you disagree with me, then I'm going to stop talking to you. And I'm like, that's not sure. a great way to run
or,
him, you know,
or Tuvix. She might Tuvix him. So, yeah. You know, yeah.
Whereas, I mean, look, Saru, good. I mean, talk about having to walk a line when you have, you know, the pirate captain, and you got to like follow that order. But then I think Saru does, you know, there's like five things on the first officer's list. One of those ability to step up at a moment's notice. And I think Saru has done that, does that. I mean, I think that's probably one of his chief responsibilities that like, because we're going through captains every 5 seconds on Discovery in those first two seasons. But Saru is able to step up at a moment's notice as first officer. Yeah. You know, he's able to step back, but he's able to step back up if he needs to be. And also, he does take charge. I mean, he can kind of be like a little bit of a bastard about it, but that's the role of captain, because you'll have times like, you know, Saru, we can't do that. And he's like, puts the finger up, talking to someone else. what is it you want to say? Okay. No, I disagree. We're not doing
I disagree with on. You. Get my little poison dart ears coming out. Pew, pew.
Poison dart ears. I like that. Yeah, I mean, it's tough to, like, the frustration I felt for, and still feel, although I guess maybe this is different now, but I don't know, for, because Saru deserves to be captain in my mind. He's, Saru is by far the best developed character on that show. And like, as like, even in the first season was more well developed than Chakotay was in Voyager. So like, you have more sympathy for me anyways. I have more sympathy for Saru, and like I root for him every time he does do something. And then if, like you said, there's an XO has a bunch of responsibilities. One of the things that I like Saru does is he takes what's her name? Oh, the redheaded
Tilly.
He takes Tilly under his wing and starts to mentor her and stuff. Like and then he's super protective over her, and like he I don't know. He just feels like a guy. I just think he does kind of exemplify those characteristics better than we see Chakotay do those things. And like you said, I think that's because of the writing, Philip. But yeah, I think it's going to be Saru.
Because crew management is a thing. And I think you see Saru managing crew, whereas Chakotay, not that you don't. I mean, he's in command and he does a fine job when he has to step up. But like, you know, who's in command of that crew? I mean, Janeway. I mean, like, because and it's a different structure, because Picard's bigger ship. Picard doesn't run his crew. Riker does. Whereas in Voyager, it's a smaller ship. Janeway does, because, you know, not that many people to do. But Chakotay, it's like, you know, you again, who's mentoring everyone? It's just everyone's job to mentor everyone. You know, there's no Chakotay being, you know, Papa Bear.
Right.
Papa Bear. Yeah. That's just a security term.
So. Cool. Does that mean are we going to talk ransom here in a minute?
Well, we'll see. We'll see. All right. So that's Saru. All right, so this one is probably maybe a lopsided, but so it's how it works out sometimes. Worf, first officer of the Defiant.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I know. I watched this Gears
for a moment and the Enterprise, but yeah.
Versus,
you do remember how to fire phasers, right?
Versus Spock.
Oh.
Okay. Ooh.
All right, two problems here.
Yeah, there are several problems, but go ahead.
First of all, we've seen Worf. We saw Worf fail as a first officer on TNG, in when he hurt Data's feelings.
Yeah, you got to learn your lessons.
Yeah, so he did get smacked down. Worf is sometimes takes him two or three times.
To be fair, he was still gold shirt back then, so
that's fair.
He hadn't had proper training.
He hadn't had his Pokemon evolution yet.
also, Spock, and I knew this was going to come up, but Spock is a science officer. He is only XO.
I know.
It's so weird. It's such a weird thing in Star Trek that there was no first officer. So I don't know. I don't know who I would. I guess, you know what? I'm going to say I'd probably pick Spock. Just because Worf kind of messes up a lot in command. Like, he seems to make mistakes over and over and over. And Spock is like, he's Spock, right? So he has his mannerisms and he has his ways about things. But he's like, as a commander, he's shown being very capable. Like Gary Seven. Like you mentioned it earlier, Darren, the
Galileo 7.
Galileo 7. Thank you.
Yeah, but everyone hates him on that one.
Well, right.
But he's right.
But he's right. And he's, you know, he at the end, he's
for management, but yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, he manages them. They get out of there. They make it out of there.
And to confirm, we're talking TOS Spock, right? Not Strange New Worlds.
Well, he's not a first officer in Strange New Worlds, except in the one episode.
Oh, he's just Lieutenant.
Oh, you're right.
Number
he is
one
lieutenant.
Is the first officer.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I'm sorry. I no, forgot I know, about that.
I'm playing with you. Yeah.
He's Lieutenant. Yeah, I agree the same with Daniel. I think I don't have as much of an issue with Spock being first officer. I feel that just, you know, it's like he majored in first officerness and he minored in science and he's got his station, you know. But I'd feel
I would
like,
think it was the opposite.
Yeah, I think the opposite.
I think he fell into the first officer role. But he's definitely true. A scientist. Yeah, first like, and foremost.
You're on your science doctorate. You got to take another class, my friend, to fill out these.
It's like he wanted to be a scientist and then class, he became a manager. And like, so he still wants to do the science, but now he has to do manager.
So I'm picturing
stuff.
Spock now with a world's best boss mug walking around, sipping his tea. Yeah, but yeah, I also agree.
Now I'm imagining a bully in a Toby, because I'm trying to remember who would irritate Spock the most. God, no, not a bully.
I also think we also didn't necessarily see Worf as first officer. Like, he technically had the role, but we never saw him actually doing first officer duties.
I can speak to that. There was, and this is before.
Or maybe there was, first, yeah.
There was an episode, it's the episode where no changeling shall ever hurt another, and Odo kills. It's the changeling on the Defiant episode.
Okay.
And so Sisko gets knocked out. Kira is tending to Sisko, and Worf is in charge in the engineering room, and he's like really hounding the engineers. He's like being real mean and Worfish, and O'Brien is like take it down a notch. Like, don't ride these guys. Just let them do their jobs and they'll do
it for
you.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, that's a good, he should know these lessons by now. We've seen him go through this already.
So Worf, we see becoming a first officer. We see all of his trials as he becomes one.
Cause remember,
he's
like
not
young
ready out there. Yeah.
In what you're watching. Whereas Spock is a mid-career commander at that point.
Well, I don't know how old he is at that point, but
I mean, they both went on to become ambassadors, so you know.
Nice work if you can get it. So I would say, and again, it's been a while because Spock, I think they both are not great crew managers, as you said, Worf, and then as you said, as we said with Spock, I mean, they don't really know how to work.
Their temperament gets in the way.
Yeah. And I think they both are transitioning, where Spock's like, I would just love to be science officer if that's all I could do. Like, fine, I'll take the center seat. Jeez. If I have to. Whereas I think Worf, we've never explored. I mean, like, you have the infamous scene, which I really love, of Worf, you know, the trial that Worf has to go through when he allegedly shoots the Klingon milk orphan chip, whatever. I forget what his little allegation was. But anyway, but at the end you have that cool scene with Sisko and Worf, and, you know, and Worf's like, you know, what decision did you make wrong? And of course that was the wrong decision, but, you know, let's go party. And Worf's like, I do not feel like partying. Like, look, you wear the red shirt. You got to show your face when you're the commander. And Worf's like, I don't know, life would be so different when I put on this red shirt. And, you know, Sisko's like, you know, wait until you get four pips. You'll wish you'd gone to botany. But I think that's a good Worf red shirt moment, because we never really saw, like, in a way the war is basically like, we got to, I don't know, what do you want to be? Let's make something up. Strategic operations. And we're going to make that a red shirt. Like, there's really Worf not necessarily choosing, like, yes, I'm going into command. It's just like, that's the slot. You're red now. And, you know, and then he kind of evolves from there as Deep Space Nine goes on.
Do you know what I was just thinking of, though? A similar scene kind of where Spock learns the same lesson. And of course, this is newer. But the Strange New Worlds music episode where he's
with number one. Yeah.
With who's the younger ensign? It's Uhura. Yeah. With Uhura, cadet. And he's and a cadet Uhura, and he's like at first he's really harsh with her, and she's like freaking out. It's like, this is my first away mission. Like, I'm gonna die, and he's like real harsh with her, and she's like, you're not doing this great. And like he kind of like throughout the episode, he kind of learns to be a little more softer, and like he was just trying to be supportive and that sort of thing. Like, so he kind of learns that lesson as well too. So,
sure. Okay, so it sounds like we're saying Spock.
I think Spock.
Okay. All right, so moving on to logical people. Una, I actually forget what her last name is, but number one from Strange New Worlds. Her last name is something weird, but I can't remember what it is. So Una, because they said it during the episode, like Commander, blah, I'm like, who's that? I'm like, oh, it's only been the entire season. Versus Sub-Commander T'Pol. So you have one season, well, one and a half. I don't know. Una had a few spots in Discovery versus, you know, 4 years of T'Pol. So I don't know. I'll start. So
that's true, because she was ahead in charge of the Enterprise while Pike was in charge of Discovery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but that was it was in space dock at that point, wasn't it?
Yeah, and stuff.
It was getting refitted.
So, I mean, because Una, I mean, if we really want to be technical, she's the first number one there ever was in Star Trek. She's literally number one. You know, been played by Majel Barrett. I don't think they were married at that point. But anyway, the character, you know, now that we've seen Strange New Worlds, we haven't seen a lot in Strange New Worlds of her, like, just being the first officer, because, I mean, you know, she gets rescued in the first episode, or team, not just her. And then, I mean, you have that little short trek with her and Ensign Spock. But there doesn't necessarily been a lot of Chris, Una, Captain Number One talks. It's almost, you know, he's talking to Spock more. It's a very Janeway situation almost. So, not that she's not an interesting character, and goodness knows she sort of ended with a bang there in season one. T'Pol, oh boy. not my favorite character, but that's not what we're talking about. As XO, you know, obviously she evolved in many ways. And again, it's hard, you know, with Trip, you know, who is the captain talking to more, her. But, and then you don't know, we don't ever see her doing crew management. She really doesn't. It's more just the next person in line if the captain gets axed. So I don't know. I'm
almost kind of like Kira, where it's that she's more of the liaison to the Vulcan, and she knows what's in the Vulcan database. Like, that's 90% of her lines, you know. Well, the Vulcan science database says this about this sector of space. Because it's like, I mean, yeah, she's in that role, but I'm trying to even think of any moments where, like, any of the other crew really reported to her. They just went straight to Archer, if I recall.
Yeah, but she's not hosting dinners.
No. Yeah, like, in fact, in the pilot episode, everybody's hostile towards her. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I think if memory serves, there's got to be a moment where Archer's like, you know, chill it, cool it, guys. Like, this is, you know. But it's I can't think of a moment either. Like, maybe tiny moments where maybe Archer's off on a planet and she's like gets the center chair, and you know, maybe Malcolm's like, yes, ma'am, kind of a thing. But there's no character building or development with her with like lower decks characters or anything like that. So I don't think she really functions that role that well.
Yeah, again, I say there's a lot of parallels to Kira where a lot of her stories are not about being a first officer, but about being Vulcan, like, and for just like Kira and Bajor. So yeah I'd vote for Una. I think we see her in that capacity a little more.
Yeah, I'm voting for Una too. I think with T'Pol, it is sort of a bit of a Spock. Obviously, that's what they're going for, where she's more science officer than first officer. But because she's not Starfleet, it's not like, oh, where Spock's line was like, I don't seek command, but if it's on me, I'll do it. Whereas T'Pol's like, I'm not Starfleet. So, you know, whatever. I mean, technically, because of my rank, I'm next in line, as we discover in the first episode. So, you know, yeah, it's sort of like I'm science officer and I get a step up if I have to in case of emergency break glass. But, okay.
Right.
All right, so here we go. Here we go. So Riker versus Saru.
Ooh, God. Okay. Go ahead, Darren. What do you pick?
Yeah, geez. Yeah, this is a hard one. I mean, because we've seen a good amount of Saru, but he also kind of isn't first officer anymore. He's kind of petered out of that role.
Well, he promoted him.
Did he?
Well, he's captain.
Well, technically, Riker's not in that role either anymore.
So. Well, yeah, after true. Like 7 years.
Just saying.
He finally sat down.
I mean, in a way, though, I'd almost still give it to Riker because while obviously he came after Spock, he's kind of the template, really, like of what we think of as a first officer. You know, doesn't sit down, you know, doesn't covet the captain's position. And not that Saru didn't have those things, but it's close. It might be like a 51-49 split, but I think I'm going to give it to Riker.
And then also for Riker, and maybe you'd say this is a demerit, but he stands up for the ship and the crew because Riker has stood up to Picard more times than Saru has ever stood up to
anybody,
Lorca or Pike. So
or Georgiou,
right? Well, he was science officer then, so that's why I don't care.
Yeah, was there a first officer on the Shins?
Michael.
Oh, duh. Yeah. Duh. Yeah. Oh my God.
It was only two episodes. You know, it's been four seasons. You know.
Oh yeah, remember when she shot the captain? Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah.
Literally the beginning of the show. Yeah. Which started the war with the Klingons.
Yeah, Riker has shot Picard, I think, probably more than once at this point.
Has he?
Well, he did during Gambit, didn't he?
He did during Gambit.
Well, yes. Does that count?
I mean, he shot him. I don't.
It's a fakey shot, though.
It was enough for Data to take him to the brig at the end of the episode.
I wonder if he actually ever really shot him. He did mutiny him once,
right?
And it turned out fake Picard. He was not the real Picard. So good on him.
You know, used to sing a song in my academy days.
Hard to believe you're that good of a singer. So I don't know. I'm voting Riker. Like as you say, I think he is the first officer's first officer. To me, but anything you want to add, Daniel, before we,
you know, just, you know, it is probably the toughest one. I really do like the Saru character. I think he exemplifies a lot of these things. Is by far for me the best thing that's come out of Discovery. And like, I do think he fits this role really, 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 really well, but, because his position has shifted so much throughout the show, and because Riker, like, it's a very stable, person in that role, and we see so much of him. Yeah, I don't know how you're going to beat Riker. I think you could write a character to beat Riker as the best XO, but like, I don't think Star Trek's done it. So yeah, I'd say Riker for sure.
So now we have Battle of the Enterprise, NCC 1701 First Officers, Una versus Spock. Who did it better?
And they know each other. So,
they know each other.
They've had that turbolift scene. So
they sang together.
I'm not saying it's Pike Una versus Kirk Spock, but I'm kind of saying that, you know. So
yeah.
Who's better command team? You
know. It's hard because now we start to get into like amount of time spent with the character.
Because technically, someone fact check me. Una was first officer longer than Spock was.
I'm almost leaning towards Una, just even though we haven't seen her as much. She's not also a science officer. She is the first officer. That is literally her role. And then, you know, Kirk didn't want that, I guess. So,
well, maybe we'll find out in season two of Discovery or Stranger Worlds. You know,
I don't think Kirk's coming in that early, but.
Because now I'm sort of scratching my head remembering where she is on the bridge when she's not in command. Because like I remember in the cage.
It's kind of Scotty's spot, like over to the side.
Because I remember in the cage, which is the same character, so I'm counting it. She's basically at Sulu's.
She's at the Khan.
Yeah. Now, whatever position that was supposed to be in the cage, I don't know. But anyway, that's where she is. So she's sort of double duty. But yeah, so she is definitely soloing number one. That's her position. So a lot of it's also what I'm inferring is that who would you rather have as your number one? I think the answer is Universe Spock. Like, I don't know. That's just me personally. Who do you want to deal with? I mean, I know Spock's awesome, but not to deal with. So that's my opinion. But anyway, so I don't know. I'm a soft Una, but Daniel, if you can rally for Spock, I might change.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really. I mean, I can say just what we all know about Spock, but like I said, I haven't watched enough Stranger Worlds to say where I think her style fits in or anything like that. And like you say, Philip, I think Spock would be difficult to deal with both as a subordinate and from the other direction as well. So he learns his lesson sometimes, but you know, sometimes maybe not. So
I guess I'll say for Spock, he is sort of the stopgap. Because goodness knows in TOS, I mean, it's probably a third of the episodes, something goes wrong with Kirk, you know. taken over by an alien.
He does step in half.
He's, you know, but Spock's always the one who's like watching for it. Like, he's like, Captain's not right. And he'll step in and step up. And so, I mean, that's not nothing. That is a first officer role, as I say, be prepared at all times. So he is looking after over the ship. Now, I mean, he's a little more the way he frames it in his head, duty. Whereas, you know, the people. So it's controversial. I am going to go Una. People can yell at us if they want. So this leads us to the ultimate showdown. Number one versus number one. Riker versus Una.
Number one.
This is your plan all along, wasn't it?
For the number ones. Numbers one? I don't know.
I mean, I just say right off the bat, I don't think Una has enough to overcome Riker. No. It just in time, in what we've seen, I mean, she's been a good number one, but nothing that's like, oh, that one episode was worth two seasons of Rikerness that we see.
I mean, she doesn't have a beard that I know of.
Neither did Riker at first.
I mean, yeah, just like Riker, she didn't have a Riker and she didn't have a beard in season one.
Yeah, we don't know what happens with Elysians or whatever she is. So yeah, so I'm voting Riker based on all
you
said.
You know, one of the things too that we didn't really talk about or consider, mm-hmm. but like I think one of the reasons Riker is such a great first officer is because they like is a great contrast between Riker and Picard. And you could say the same thing with like Kirk and Spock, right?
That's
true. But like where the personalities are so vastly different, like that they make up for each other's shortcomings.
Different styles of command, everything. Right.
Like and like. Again, with like Una and like Pike is such a likable guy that like you don't really like you don't need this sort of middle person to mediate. He's so approachable. Same thing with Archer.
It makes Una kind of the bad cop to Pike's good cop, which is kind of weird.
So it's like, yeah, who would you rather deal with? Well, you definitely do not want to deal with Picard. Like you don't want to deal with him. Nobody wants to go see him. If you're going to see Picard, that's like seeing the principal. You would spend $100 to go see the vice principal, the fun vice principal.
He is the fun vice principal.
So it's like, I just think that's an important factor for why Riker is so good at his job.
Fun vice principal is now the episode title.
I see like you're on the Enterprise D, like, you know, you don't even know what's going on, but like, yeah, you're gonna have to go see one of the command personnel. And you're like, oh God, it's Commander Riker. Oh God, you. All right. Yeah, that's fine. I'll go see Commander Riker. Figure out, you know, stand in front of the ready room desk, not to stare at the fish, pee in my pants.
I mean, granted, you know, we call him the fun vice principal, but yet I'm thinking in Lower Decks, like none of them wanted to talk to Riker. They were all like, but that's because he's doing his job. But
yeah. He's captain of the. Lower Decks, the episode. Do you think Riker has an.
Lower Decks, the show.
Do you think Riker has an office on deck two?
That's a good question. I think so. I think
the XO needs a meeting with subordinate office because sometimes 10 forward or your quarters don't really cut it.
I think He's got to have his own office.
He's got his hot box office.
Look, the Enterprise D is not that big, Daniel. I don't know. It's schematic. There's just no room.
Listen.
Okay, guys. Pulling out the blueprints.
Look, when you have 40% ambassadorial quarters, there's just no way.
What was the XO's name in Battlestar? Colonel Ty. He had his own office. So
that's right.
So Riker should too. That's all I'm saying.
That's right.
That's it. That's the thing. Like, you would tell how in trouble you were with by what deck you got to.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're going to the ready room, or you're going to deck two for... I don't know what's on deck two. What is on deck two?
I'm opening the
bottom part of the bridge stuff. Actually, I think there are, like, officer quarters.
It is kind of... it's all of the, like, bridge officers. You have Lieutenant LaForge, Lieutenant Commander Data... You have Data, LaForge, and Worf's quarter all on deck two.
But to be
their
sure,
personal quarters?
Yes, to be sure.
That's shocking to me. Okay.
All right. But they need to be close to the bridge.
But yeah, you don't
LaForge
need to be.
Get screwed. He needs to be on deck 40.
Yeah, he has to go all the way down. I am shocked, actually. I do think that that's a waste of executive space. I would say put Riker's office in there.
It's it's mostly just... environmental systems and those nothing few crew quarters,
but not even Captain Picard's quarters on deck two, right?
No, his are on deck.
All of deck four is his quarters.
Eight. He gets the very front of the saucer. He gets the VIP room.
God. You know what? I've never noticed that. Is that like a thing? I've never. Okay, I have to watch that. Anyways, sorry for derailing us.
All right, well, we're going to close it out because we've already been talking for a second here. So, just to sum up, we have said Riker is the ultimate XO, and that Tom Paris is the ultimate con officer. So there you go. It's solved. It's solved, everyone. You're welcome. So, all debates are done. All right. So, Daniel, if folks wanted to talk about who is the ultimate auxiliary control officer, where can they reach you?
They can find me on Twitter at OneUpDan. That is the number one, not the word.
And Darren, if folks want to know where your quarters means how important you are, where can they talk to you?
It's very much a pyramid hierarchy, but they can find me at drscifi.com, DrScifi.
And if folks want to talk to me about who the best shuttle bay officer is, depending on size of your shuttle bay, they can find me at NC Public Service. Well, until next week, I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Daniel Prue.
Stranded here on City Alpha 3.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.